You're listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play Fatecore game by Noble Jester Productions. Welcome to Rillian, a Western fantasy world where magic needs fuel, and that fuel is mined and refined into Ecton. A place of vast deserts, dark rituals, and greedy mining companies. A dwarf awakens and has forgotten who he is. Who is Verboden, and how will he seek to remember his past in the midst of this harsh world?
Close this portal, and the Dream Leech enters into Ada, gives you this kind of twisted, sick grin, enters into her, and then she stands up with this panicked look on her face and runs out the front door. So there's kind of all this aftermath of chaos that is happening as all of these demonic creatures just got pulled back into this portal. So, you know, there's dust swirling around, there's kind of papers fluttering around, is this like massive gust of energy pulled these things through into the portal, and Ada books it out the front of the church.
Yeah, so seeing this go down, I would immediately try to run after her.
Okay. Yeah, you run to the door, and you know, you kind of look around, and you can see her kind of running off to the side, and so you chase after her, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of you kind of run through the town a little bit, and she leaps onto a horse. You see Jarl's horse there. She leaps onto it and just starts kicking it, and it's galloping off. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, as soon as she is moving towards a horse, I would remember where I left Dockhead and run as fast as I can to try to get to Dockhead.
Okay, yeah, you run over to Dockhead, you jump on, and you chase after Ada. No sign of Jarl still. You're not really sure where he is. But you chase after Ada. And you can, you know, she has a little bit of a lead on you because of you having to go get your horse. But you are chasing after her. So let's go ahead and get a ride check from you.
Okay.
I'm going to do opposing ride rolls here.
Okay. That is a total of 0.
Okay. She rolled a 0 as well.
Okay.
Well, it's really not her rolling, it's the Dream Leech, but
well,
yeah.
Sure, I get it.
So you are chasing after her, and she's kind of keeping a steady pace, and she is riding straight toward the ridge, you know, the named ridge of Silver Ridge, and you chase after her for a couple of minutes, you know, probably 15 minutes or so. And this ridge is just getting larger and larger as you're getting closer and closer. And as you can see that Ada kind of gets up to the base of this ridge, turns, and kind of starts going along the side of it for a very short amount of time, and then throws herself off the horse and starts climbing the side of this ridge.
Okay, so I'll right up, you know, right up to where she would have jumped off, maybe see if I can even get a little bit closer to the side of the ridge, and then I'm not even going to, like, stop Dockhead. I'm going to try to jump off, so it's a little risky maneuver, but I'm going to try to do that while still going at a pretty brisk pace just to give a little more momentum towards the side.
Yeah, no, I like it. Let's do, like, an athletics check or something like that to just see if you can kind of gain a little bit of ground here.
Total of 0.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't really lose any ground, but you also don't really gain any ground. You can see her climbing. She's probably maybe 100 feet up above you. You can see her climbing up the side of this ridge, and then she climbs into it's not a difficult climb. You know, there's plenty of handholds. It's kind of graded away from you a little bit, so it's not like you're, you know, scaling a cliff face or anything.
Got it, okay.
But, you know, you're climbing up this, she's climbing up, and she gets to this place where the ridge kind of, you know, breaks, and there's kind of a natural V in the shape of the ridge, and she disappears into it.
Okay, yeah, so I'll just keep going and get up to that V, and yeah, just follow her path.
Okay, you get up to that point, and it looks like kind of the mouth of a cave, and it's dark. So I don't know if you keep running in or if you pause at all.
I think I'll stop for a second, kind of lean down and, you know, put my hand on my knee, trying to catch my breath for a moment, and looking back, do I see anybody from the town that's followed, anything behind me?
Yeah, you see a kind of another dust cloud of a rider coming towards you.
Okay. How can I tell how far away it is? Like, how big is the speck in the distance?
Still a couple of minutes away.
Okay.
You can't really tell from this perspective who it is.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go into the cave.
So you turn and start making your way into this cave. You probably have some sort of a light on mm-hmm. you, whether it's, you know, a torch or matches or something you can use if you want to, or you can just leave it dark. Up to you.
Yeah, as I'm going in, I don't have anything. Like, I didn't have the time to prepare for this, like, a torch sort of thing, but I do have matches on me, so I'll, you know, reach into my pouch and pull out, you know, the small stack of matches and, you know, light one and hold it up and, you know, go as far as I can. I'm going to be going pretty much slow through there and, you know, lighting a match, getting as far as I can. If it burns out, I'll light another one. I probably have, you know, maybe stack of 10 or 15 in my pouch.
Okay. You make it through probably 6 matches, just kind of making your way through until you can kind of see that this cave starts to open up a little bit and you can see a little bit of light in front of you, and you make your way into a little bit of a larger chamber, and you can see that there's an open hole in the ceiling. Looks like the cave kind of, you know, exits, but it's really high up, and you can see kind of at the opposite wall, Ada is standing there, kind of just looking around and looking up at that hole, and then just kind of stands there.
So as I enter that area, kind of pause and look around, make sure that I don't see anybody else there.
You do not.
Okay. And I'll call out, "She's not yours, you can't have her."
"Perhaps not, but she's no longer yours either."
I'll just kind of start slowly walking forward, just taking, like, real steady, slow steps. I'll call out, "Ada, it's me, Verboden. I know you're in there. Just fight it. Do it for Jarl."
There's a moment where Ada kind of freezes, and then you just hear kind of a low chuckle.
"Listen to me, Sheriff. I'm not going to allow you into her mind. You won't be able to kill me, so you may as well just let me go."
"It's not gonna happen."
"Well, then I suppose we are at a bit of an impasse."
"I suppose so. What's your play in all this? You're afraid. You wouldn't be running if you were afraid."
"I'll admit that did not go as planned."
And I'll just kind of keep slowly walking towards her.
"There are other people and other portals. I can recover from this."
I'm just going to keep slowly walking towards her.
Okay. When you would get probably 15 feet away, she turns, and you can kind of see this wild look in her eyes, and she pulls a knife off of her belt, holds it up to her own neck. He says,
"Stop there."
So I'll stop, kind of hold, start holding my hands up. Don't hurt her. Let's talk this over."
"Occurs to me that it would be easier for me to leave without her."
"Look, I'm gonna put my gun down. Just set her free. Just go. I won't come after you. Just go. Leave her alone." Slowly kind of put my gun down in front of me on the ground. Okay, so as I'm, you know, kneeling there down on the ground, going to set the gun on the ground, I've got my left hand up underneath my coat, where I have a device that I've been working on it and crafted, using the technology of the Ecton and some help from Sunny. So essentially it's like a flashbang. So I'll take this and toss it out in front of me, turn to look away.
Okay, yeah, it explodes and you just kind of feel this kind of concussion hit you. You know that this, you know, affected Ada because, you know, you're pretty sure she wasn't expecting it, or Dream Leech wasn't expecting it, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that would, I guess that would give me an aspect for this, like you use essentially, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you, blinded for, you know, at least for the moment, give you a free usage of that.
Okay, yeah, so I will seize that opportunity of blinded to then try to shoot the knife out of her hand.
Okay, I like it, yeah, go ahead and make your attack roll.
Okay. It's a 4 total. Oh, but wait, but I get my +2 because of invoking the aspect, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a 6 total.
Yeah, so got a 2. So you fire and shoot the knife out of her hand, and you suddenly have the drop on the Dream Leech. So.
Yeah, so as soon as I see that knife leave her hand, I'm just going to try to push off the ground and get up and make as much space, and going to hopefully try to wrap her up and see what happens.
Okay. As you push off the ground and start to rush forward, you see her kind of blinking, and then you see her look kind of past you to the mouth of, you know, the entrance of this kind of room in the cave, and you suddenly see this kind of sly grin cross her face for a moment, and then she screams, and you hear a roar from the mouth of the cave, and I don't know if you're going to turn to look or not, but
I think this is all happening too quick in the moment. I recognize hearing it, but I'm still going to go to try to grab her.
Okay, yeah, so you hear kind of this roar from the mouth of the cave that you recognize as Jarl, and you hear him say,
"No, mother!"
And he rushes across at you. You kind of leap onto her, grab her. What are you going to do after that?
Yeah, so if I've grabbed her, I would try to, like, turn, you know, holding her, keeping her arms down, and looking at Jarl. Jarl, it's not just her. Hold on, man, hold on.
He's rushing at you. He pulls his axe out, and he says,
"What are you doing? This is my mother!"
"I know, I'm trying to help her. This thing is in her mind. Just give me a second, just hold on. It's me."
He kind of slows, but he's still moving, you know, not at like a breakneck speed now, but he slows and he's still moving towards you. He's got this axe up, and you can kind of just see this kind of like, he's like bloody, he's, you know, looks pretty injured, but he has kind of a desperate look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He holds out a hand and says, "Verboden, put her down."
"Trying to help your mother, Andy. It is in her mind. I can't just leave her. It's not just her."
As you say that, she speaks and she says, "Jarl, help me."
I mean, like, I'm grimacing at this point, holding her and just waiting to see Jarl's reaction to this.
Okay, yeah. He starts moving towards you, kind of raising the axe. Looks like he's pretty pissed. He says,
"Put her down or I will have to hurt you."
I yell back at him, "Jarl, drop the axe."
He rears back and he looks like he's about to throw the axe at you.
Oh, crap.
I'm going to give you a reaction here because, you know, throwing an axe is going to be a lot slower than shooting,
like,
if you want to do something.
Is this like a big two-handed axe kind of thing, or like a single smaller one?
It's like a big two-handed axe.
You know, rearing back, that sort of motion, so I've got that little split time to
yeah.
figure Which, it out.
I mean, you're holding Ada up in front of you. He's clearly not reacting super rationally.
Yeah. Carl, stop. You're going to hurt your mother. I will. Sucks. So as I'm holding her, I really don't want him to hit her at the same time. So if he continues through with this, I'm going to push her out of the way.
Okay. I'm going to have you roll for this to see kind of... Well, he's going to roll an attack.
Okay.
Because he is throwing the axe at you. He hit a 4.
Okay.
I'm going to have you roll a defense, and I'm going to have you, some sort of defense. Whether that is athletics or whatever, as you're trying to kind of dodge out of the way of this, but also move her out of the way of this. So I'm going to say... Roll athletics. That okay. seems to make the most sense.
Yep.
And I almost want to say either he needs a bonus or you need a negative here. Just as... I don't know if that works with this rules, but I guess let's just see what you...
Yeah, I mean, unless there's like an aspect, that's for this scene, of... Just, Ada's messed this up. Oh, crap. That's a total of -2.
All right. So I'm going to let you pick.
Okay.
You can be hit by the axe, or Ada can be hit by the axe.
Why would you have me decide that? That's just really mean.
I'll pick if you want.
No. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. I take that back. I retract. Jeez. Well, I got to go with what the role is, and the role is me... trying to react, push her out of the way, because I don't want that to happen, but I feel like with my role it's not very good. So my thought would be I am not successful in trying to get ungrappled from her and push her out of the way in time.
You think she would be hit?
I think she would be hit.
I think that narratively makes the most sense.
Yeah.
So you kind of spin and try to push her down to the side and also kind of, spin yourself away from the axe. And in the process, your heel catches on just kind of a loose rock. And you start to fall back. You've kind of let go of her at this point. And this axe, slow motion, sails right past you. Slams into her. And you see this, awful look of panic cross over Jarl's face as he screams out, "Mother!" And he rushes over to her. I don't know if you're going to do anything, but Jarl just kind of ignores you at this point and grabs his mother and is trying to stop the flow of blood. He's trying to see if he can do something to save her.
Yeah, as I kind of stumble, get back up, and walk towards him, "Jarl, that is still not just her. What are you doing?"
She reaches up a hand and just kind of traces blood down his face. Then her hand goes limp. And he is just distraught. He's screaming and trying to save her and weeping. And then he just picks her up and runs out of the cave.
I'm going to chase after her. I'm going to be yelling at him. "Jarl, you got to put her down, man. You got to put her down. She can't touch you."
As he's running, you suddenly see the Dream Leech almost appear, swim into existence, almost like he's ejected from her body. And Jarl runs past, doesn't seem to see this Dream Leech, just kind of sighs, and I don't know if you're going to stop at that point or what.
Yeah, if the Dream Leech stops there, then I would stop in my tracks.
Okay. Yeah, it just kind of watches as Jarl runs out with his mother's body, and then it turns to you.
"Well, that couldn't have gone better if I'd planned it.
You pay for that."
"How exactly do you think that's going to happen?"
in this moment, thinking back through hints being dropped of having more capability that I'm aware of, times with the chalice and that feeling, I want to reach into my pack quickly, put my hand on the chalice, and try to focus and, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but almost, like, trying to mentally attack him. That's not even a thing.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. Go ahead and roll. I'd say will probably makes the most sense.
Okay. That would be a 0 total.
He's going to defend also with will. It's a 4.
Okay.
He's going to succeed and get a boost against you.
Okay.
You put your hand on this chalice, and once again, you feel this sense of it trying to kind of pull something from you. You've had this happen multiple times, kind of each time you've interacted with this chalice. It's felt like it was trying to pull something from you and failing. And you kind of try to push past that and use it to attack this creature, and nothing really happens. He looks at you and says,
"Let's move this into a better battlefield."
He's going to attack you and try to enter your mind.
Okay, good times. So I assume I'm going to roll a will attack here, or will defense?
Yeah.
My rolls are awesome tonight, and they continue to be awesome. And by awesome, that means they suck. That's a 0.
All right, well, he rolled a 6, so...
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to say it doesn't do any damage, because the stated purpose that I made of the attack was to enter your mind.
Okay.
But you feel this horrible penetrating sensation in your mind, and your vision goes dark. And then suddenly your vision kind of clears, and for a split second you see a woman's face in front of you. You're standing there holding her hands, and there's something inside of you that is terrified and horrified by this. You have this sudden splitting sensation in your mind, and you feel yourself kind of step out of yourself and take a few steps back away from this scene. And there's something in you that recognizes this, that recognizes it as your own memory. You see this woman that you have dreamt about a few times. You see her holding hands with this fairly tall human man that triggers in your mind that this is you. And they're holding hands. You see, you know, your own mouth. You're kind of watching this from a few steps away. You see your own mouth open.
Yindra, we must be careful. Heartfang grows suspicious. He was watching me this morning. He hates when I take on this form.
You hear her respond.
We won't have to hide much longer. I met a young man who I think is going to change the world. His name is Akhed. He spoke of actually fighting back against the dragon's tyranny.
And you see yourself kind of turn, crossing your arms, and you say,
"You were taken in by this dreamer? Won't work. Heartfang's rule is too powerful, even over us."
She moves over, puts a hand on your shoulder.
"You don't understand. You think he's cruel to you? Try living more than a few hours at a time as one of us lesser races. I think Akhed has the right idea."
You see yourself turn and take her hands, and this kind of look of jealousy crosses over your face. You say,
"Was he charming, this Akhed?"
She puts a hand up on the side of your face.
"You have nothing to worry about. I love you and you alone."
You see her mouth form some kind of a word, and there's something in you that recognizes she's saying your name, but all you can hear is this kind of intense static in your mind. As this name is washed out by this sound in your head, you see the Dream Leech walk into view. He walks kind of right behind your body, you know, a few paces away from you, kind of runs a claw along shoulders, and everything else in this memory has kind of frozen in this moment. And he says, looking at this figure, looking at you, maybe not realizing that you're not in this body, he says,
I knew of your curse. This is truly pathetic. To have had so much power and given it up for her. And now look at you. She's a goddess.
Anything you want to do?
So is he, did you say he's focusing on memory of me? And like he potentially thinks that that's me?
Yes. Okay. He's like speaking into its ear.
Got it. So I'm kind of like witnessing this.
Yeah. You're yourself. You dwarven form. You don't look like that. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, kind of everything, all your gear on you.
What is this? I don't want you here. How dare you? This is mine.
And you said the figures are like, they're motionless, like kind of frozen in place.
Yeah.
If I like start walking forward, is there any reaction from the Dream Leech?
No. Doesn't seem to have reacted to what you said either.
Like he potentially didn't hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so with him not having a reaction, I'm going to walk forward, get closer, and I just want to get closer where I can kind of look up and see her face.
Yeah. In this moment, she's frozen, one hand up on your face in this memory. And, you know, her expression is one of kind of exasperation and affection mixed together on her frozen face.
So I'll just kind of like spellbound at this moment, you know, seeing this play out, and I'll walk forward and get close, almost like in between them, but off to the side, and you know, look up at my face there, like, can I be up closer? You know, am I, is there a connection, like strong connection? Like, that was me.
You 100%, yeah, you had this connection. You realize, you know, kind of through this kind of throbbing mental pain that this is you. And other memories aren't returning or anything in this moment, but you recognize everything about this scene. You know, you remember it, and you remember the feel of her hand on your face. You remember the jealousy and the, you know, suspicion of Ked. You remember the terror of Heartfang. You know, you don't know who that is, but you remember kind of these emotions and sensations from this moment. You can see the Dream Leech's kind of grinning, disgusting face over your own shoulder.
In that moment, I kind of look at her, you know, pause. And,
so, it's you. You're why my life is like this. Are you worth all this?
Do I have any weapons or anything on me? Do I have a physical form in this state at all?
Yeah, you look like your dwarven self. Your pistol's on your hip. You have all of the things that you had a moment ago.
Yes, I reach down and kind of like grip the handle of my gun, just super hard. It's almost like just painful. And then I'm going to try to shoot the Dream Leech.
Okay, go ahead and make your attack. Because he doesn't realize you're there, I'm going to kind of create a scene aspect here of invisible, and you can have a free indication of it.
Okay. I rolled a -3, so with my shoot, that's a 1, and then I'll invoke that free use of that aspect of invisible, so you get the 3 total.
You can use the
invocation right?
To re-roll instead of
Let's do that. Let's do that, because a -3 is the worst. Okay, much better. So 5 total.
All right. Well, he rolled actually the worst. He rolled a -4. He's going to be defending with physique here. So his roll is a -1. So that's 6 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you point your pistol and you fire and you see, you know, this grinning, disgusting face over your own shoulder, and you see the bullet. Whereas previously, when you had shot at this creature, it just kind of passed right through.
Mm-hmm.
This bullet actually explodes kind of into the side of its face, and chunks of this creature's face are blown off, and its eyes widen, and it looks wildly around the room, and then black. A moment later, the scene reforms. This time, you see yourself, still this tall human, inside of a tent. And you are at a table looking at a book, and you can see Yendra a few paces away. She's got her arms crossed, and just from looking at her, you can tell this is some time later. She has few scars. She looks older. Probably years have gone by. And you see yourself close this book and turn and nod to her.
It has to be you. The blood has to be from a willing dragon. There isn't anyone else. I hate to ask it of you, but we must have your blood or the whole ritual will fail.
You see yourself kind of put your head down and then nod. You say,
I will do it. I could never deny you. Please, please not him, not Aked. He cannot take on Rin's divinity. He isn't worthy.
You see yourself kind of wipe some sweat off of your forehead. You say,
none of us are after the things we've done.
She walks over and puts her hands on your shoulders, and you can see this kind of look of determination and satisfaction cross over her face.
I agree. It can't be Aked. We will talk to the others and remove him first. I will take this on. I am worthy.
As that happens, you see the Dreamleech standing in the entrance to this tent. His face is kind of torn and mangled from your bullet. He's looking wildly around his tent.
Yeah, I'm going to yell at him again. I'm just so frustrated that he is here with me as I'm being able to have these memories, so I'm going to yell at him. Out. These are my memories. You cannot have them.
As you say that, this time his head kind of swivels towards you, and he rushes at you. Doesn't look like he can see you, but he rushes at where you, you know, kind of where your voice came from, and he's going to just blast this mental attack in your direction.
Okay.
He's going to make an attack against you. I would say you would need to use will to defend against this.
That's a 3 total.
Okay. He rolled a 6, so you take 3 points of mental stress.
And I didn't take any mental stress from that last thing, right?
Correct.
All right, I marked that off.
So he sends this kind of blasted mental energy towards you, and you feel kind of mentally flayed for a moment, like your who you are is torn apart and then kind of reforms. And you see finally his eyes kind of track to you, and what's left of his mouth kind of grins, and he continues rushing towards you, this time obviously seeing you.
Yeah, so as that happens, kind of just yell out, just like, and I run after straight at him and pull the pistol out. I'm going to take a shot as I'm running at him.
Okay, go for it.
That is a 5 total.
That's a good roll. You rolled a 4.
Okay.
So he takes another point of damage, marks off another box here. You fire again, and this bullet hits into his shoulder. He kind of spins around, and he does a full kind of 360 and reaches out for you, and then everything goes black.
Okay.
A moment later, your vision returns, and you, still a few paces away from yourself, feel a shock run through you as you see yourself. Massive gold dragon crouched in a stone kind of circular space. There are pillars kind of scattered around this stone circle. And you can see runes carved into the ground underneath yourself. And you feel this kind of shock seeing this figure, knowing it's yourself. And then it clicks. This is right. This is you. You see blood pouring out of your body from a large slash across your chest. And you see this blood just kind of pooling in the ground underneath yourself, filling these runes. You can see chaos and energy and wind swirling around this circle. For it forms into this spectral dragon head that kind of floats into view in front of yourself. You see it just shout at you.
You have betrayed your own kind for these ants. How could you? Cursed be your name. None shall ever remember you. You are forsaken, cut off from those you betrayed. You shall walk this land and see the fruit of your betrayal forever. Cursed to always forget and be forgotten. Now go in the form of your shame and lose those you claim to love.
Then it all kind of freezes, and you feel almost a tickle on the back of your neck. You spin, this dreamly just right in your face, his claws coming down for you. He's going to make an attack on you.
Okay.
This time, it's going to be a physical attack, not mental.
Okay.
He is rolling so terribly tonight.
It's starting to flip. I'm liking this.
That's a zero.
I rolled, so with defend with physique, it's a four total.
Okay. You defend, and I'm going to say you just kind of, you know, whatever you want to do, but probably like knock the attack away. You're going to get a boost on your attack back if you choose to do so.
Yeah, so like if he's behind me trying to come down.
Yep.
So I do the move where I, you know, sense his arm come in, I grab it and just flip him over, and he kind of slides across a few feet away from me.
Okay.
And then, so then I get to attack.
Yeah.
For a reason, I'm not going to shoot him in this moment. I'm just like feeling crushed, but also having to deal with this right now. So, I mean, like tears are going to be starting to like pool up in my eyes, start streaming in my face as I rush forward, and I'm just going to try to clock this guy as hard as I can.
As you run forward, you see yourself, your dwarven form, running through this blood, running through this scene of what now is, you know, remembered, what you realize is a memory. You remember the feeling of your blood pouring out, your sacrifice that you made to allow her to ascend to godhood, the feeling of elation and also shame as you betrayed your own kind, and the feeling of this curse being placed upon you. And you sense, as you're rushing at Dreamleech, you sense kind of an awakening sensation from this chalice that you're holding. You almost feel it once again try to pull something from you, and you feel this kind of surge of energy up through the soles of your feet as you are running through this blood, and it surges through you and into this chalice, and you feel this kind of spectral energy coalesce around your fist as you rush forward to make your attack on the Dreamleech.
That's awesome.
Go ahead and attack.
Okay. Attack with physique. And it's not great. That's a zero.
You have a boost, which I think can only be used to add +2. I don't think you can use it to reroll.
Okay. What was the boost from again?
From you getting, you defend it with...
Oh, with style?
With style,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So then I'll use the boost I had from defending with style to add a +2 to that.
Right. He's defending with physique, and got a 1.
So that was a 2 total for me.
How do you want to do this?
Yeah, so as I'm running up, I reach out my hand, I feel this sensation. So I see this spectral form, like you said, coalesce around my hand, but larger than my hand, of the arm and the claws of a dragon. And it comes in and catches him from his shoulders and neck and just rips down and just shreds him.
Yeah, as these spectral claws rip through his form, you see kind of fear and agony cross over this face, and then he is torn apart and disappears. You're left here in this kind of frozen memory, looking at yourself, this dragon who has begun to shift down into a mortal form.
So as I'm watching this, I just drop to my knees and just breathing heavy and watching this unfold.
Yeah, and as you're kind of staring at this, you feel your mind opened. You feel these memories return. You remember your life. You remember being a dragon. You remember your feelings and emotions and your love and choosing to betray your own kind, to step away from the tyranny of Heartfang and the way that he treated all of the lesser races and even the other dragons, and to choose Yindra and her people. And you remember all of this and feel yourself kind of have an awakening in your mind, and then it goes black. And a moment later, your vision returns. You can feel yourself kind of exiting your own mind back into your form, and you can see this cave around you, light still dim. See a pool of blood a few feet away from where Ada was hit with the axe.
Well, hello there, listener. We hope you're enjoying Tales of the Forsaken, even if it's not enough about me. Please follow and rate us on whatever your favorite podcast platform is. If you would like to support us, and you really should, or just dig deeper into the story and its characters like me, Asmodian, join our Discord listed in the episode description. We are 100% independently created and produced, and it's your support that helps us to keep creating.